Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Not Without My Sister. I'm Beatrice McCabe, and I'm here talking to my incredibly head-wrecking sister, Rosemary McCabe, who has some kind of sinus infection that is making her feel very sorry for herself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say make her feel very smug. I was like, correct.
Also.
I mean, doesn't take much. You know what I was actually thinking now, before we get into this, about my Ozempic that I talked about on Patreon. I'm missing the smug element.
What do you mean?
Like the last time when I started like quote unquote clean eating and working out all the time, I felt so smug. And I think the dopamine that I was missing from the food, I was making up for in smug. And this time I just don't have the smug. Because it doesn't feel like I'm like making this great effort. You know what I mean? It's like, oh.
Or you could say, or I could posit that in fact you have become so smug that smugness has just absorbed itself into your daily routine and you are now smug.
It's my default, you're saying.
Correct. Now, Rosemary, have you watched Desperate Housewives of New York City with Jenna Lyons?
Desperate Housewives of New York City. Let's all just take a moment for Granny Gray over there.
You know what I mean.
I do. I have watched Real Housewives of New York.
Come on, it was just a Freudian slip.
I have watched it, yes. What's your question?
And do you think it was good?
I mean, I don't know if I'd call any of them good. It was entertaining television. It's not anything like
Jenna Lyons,
Salt Lake City. Jenna Lyons, you know what? I was watching the whole thing and what comes across really in it, right, is that she's a very hard worker and she's very driven. And she's always like, every time they meet up, she's like, I'm just coming from this or I'm doing that. Or like they go to her house and she's basically packing up her eyelashes herself, which could be a bit put on. But I just watched it the whole time and I was like, you were this like fashion darling. And then you left J. Crew, and did you just really, really hate not being famous? Was she just worried? Like, she just really needs to be in the spotlight all the time. Because I was like, why do you need to be on The Real Housewives?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say she actually made herself. I mean, I feel like she kind of semi-frittered away the fame that came with it. She didn't really go on to do anything bigger or better afterwards. And like, that was a great launching pad for her. You know, she was at the top of, like you said, she was a fashion darling, and she kind of didn't leverage that. She has her eyelash brand. It's not a massive big thing, you know. She could have been creative director for any fashion brand, I would say, after that, and she wasn't. But she also, there was something you said there that I was going to say, she also what? Oh, she, this isn't her first reality show though. She also had a like Designing with Jenna reality show, like some that people seem to like. It's more like I do think this was her attempt to stay relevant and to stay like, or to reboost her career, should I say.
Yeah, to make sure she still has column inches. The other thing about it is that in the show, and they talk about this as well in the reunions, her two defining characteristics are like hardworking fashion bitch, right? And she even turns up to the reunion in one of them wearing jeans and a kind of an open blazer. And they're like, this is the first time any housewife has ever worn jeans, because they always wear like head to toe, like Versace, tacky as shit. Anyway, but she's wearing jeans. But her other defining characteristic is, I'm shy and I'm incredibly self-conscious about my terrible skin. None of which, like, she wears open jackets open to her navel the whole time. And like, you know what I mean? To be fair, maybe she talks about this skin condition that she has, and maybe she hides it up and she's never shown it on camera, and she hides it beneath her sleeves and beneath whatever. But she just goes on about it all the time. And I kind of look at her and I'm like, I don't understand on a level where it's happened to me, but I can understand that it must be very, very difficult. But I just don't look at her with her like very over the top, you know, huge glasses. She really makes a statement with her clothes, her like incredibly low cleavage. I don't think this is a self-conscious, shy woman.
Oh.
And I find that hard to kind of reconcile.
She wouldn't come across to me as shy. She comes across to me as very self-controlled, which might
be. No, but she talks all the time about how awkward she was growing up, and she never had friends and she never had a boyfriend and she couldn't talk to him, and she was so shy.
But maybe she was. She can change.
No, but she kind of talks very shy. Like, she's still that person. And then she cries because she's like, you know, she's feeling left out and she's feeling really awkward and she's never had friends before. That's another thing.
She cries?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that. Well, the reason I asked you all that so long way around, because I just got a text from a friend of mine telling me that Rebecca Minkoff is apparently also on Real Housewives of New York.
I'm rolling my eyes. Real Housewives of New York City.
Yeah, okay, I got that part.
Anyway, the point of this episode is I'm reading this book, and it's called The Perfectionist's Guide to Losing Control by Catherine Morgan Schaffler. And let me tell you, the only reason I'm reading it is because my friend Katie chose it for book club. And I'm absolutely hating it because it's making me discover I am not a perfectionist at all. Oh. And I also slightly suspect that the woman who wrote it, who kind of self-describes as a perfectionist, I'm suspecting that she wrote it to basically defend herself against friends who are like, you're too much of a perfectionist. She opens the book talking about how the night before her wedding, she and her husband decided that they would sleep separately, so that they would have like the first look and all that, so that they could have a really good night's sleep. And she said, so they went for their rehearsal dinner. She went home. She put on two loads of laundry. She did an hour and a half work. She finished a paper and she did something else. She was like, I had a great productive evening and I was in a great mindset. And I'm like, you're a weirdo. The night before your wedding. Like, don't justify that by being like, I felt great. It's like, you should have been like, I mean, you should have been, you do what you want. But it was just like, I don't know. It felt like everybody in your family was like, what are you doing work the night of your wedding? And she's like, I'm going to write a book about how that's okay.
I went to work the day of my wedding for a half day, left at lunchtime.
Well, this is why you're also
regret it ever since. Regret not having spent time actually picking out my dress, etc. Regret it.
Oh, well, I don't think she regrets anything.
Well, I've had lots of conversations with people over the years. I don't know if this is a particularly European thing. It certainly never came up in Paris or Milan. That sounds real pretentious, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly never came up in Paris or Milan. Like, nobody was ever saying, oh, je suis très type. Ah, you know? Whereas in America, they love to tell you.
Could you not just have said that in English?
No, I don't remember how to say it in English. But in America, they love to say to you, like, oh, you know, I'm just very type A. I'm just extreme. And it drives me mad. And I actually had to address with myself. I had to sit down and get myself under control and say, like, give myself a good talking to. You need to not be so bothered by this. You, like, this says more about you than it does about these people who believe themselves to be type A. But there was just such, back to the smugness, there was such pride and such smugness in the expression of this statement. And never, like, did anybody think maybe it's not that healthy to be a type A? Maybe it's, you know,
try to relax myself a little bit out of my type.
Maybe it's not super positive, but also you'd be looking at people like whose houses weren't particularly clean going, I'm just very type A, you know, about,
it
was more about like my kids' clothes or my kids' school lunches are a certain way and everything's cut out with a cookie cutter, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I cook and I style everything a la Pinterest. But like there'd be aspects of their life that I'd just be going like, that would drive me mad. Like it's so disorganized and chaotic. But then they had these fixations on certain things. And a lot of it was about like how they appeared, you know, how they showed, how they mommed, how they parented, like how they showed up for the neighbors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was more of a facade. It was a bit like almost social media-esque, this expression. And it drove me insane. But I had to sit down and tell them. Because I found myself saying to people really unhelpfully and like probably not very likably, I don't think you're type A at all, you know, I'm going, here's why. And then I was like, I need to fucking shut up. Like, and if they want to be type A, you know, but that I'd say it kind of jokingly.
You also never
hear. Yeah, it did seem mean. Yeah, so I stopped saying it.
Yeah, Beatrice, you're jokingly. I've had things said jokingly to me by you before that haven't been hilarious. You never hear anybody going, oh, I'm just really type B. They only brag about being type A.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I said, what am I? I said, am I type B? And they're all like, nah. But you're also going, like, it's such a humble brag. You know, it's not an expression of.
It's just a brag. It's like, I have to be the best at everything I do because I'm type A. I organize everything really well. I'm really type A. I always know where my phone is because I'm so type A.
I didn't mean that as a dig. Really bitchy.
Sorry, that just was
really bitchy. You'd also wonder, like, what is so great about being type A? Like, it makes you sound, because honestly, the main people who would have expressed, you know, their type A-ism were quite square. You know, it's real like they wouldn't be the ones having the crack or like rolling out of the dive bars.
No, you know, a type A would never roll out of a dive bar. It'd be ridiculous.
No, they wouldn't at all. They'd be very kind of buttoned Leighton up. Meester in Gossip Girl.
Yes, buttoned up to the neck. They'd stand there, they'd have one cocktail, their lipstick wouldn't smudge, and then they'd go, oh, gals, they'd look at their watch. It's always, always wound up. They'd go, oh, listen, I have to go. I have so much work to do. I have a big meeting in the morning. Mwah, mwah, air kiss, and they'd leave. Anyway.
Maybe I am type A. That sounds like
okay.
Me.
Okay. The perfectionist quiz. So it says here, this is on, what's her name again? Catherine Morgan
Schaeffler.
It's on her website, perfectionistguide.com. And it says, because perfectionism operates on a continuum, all perfectionists can embody aspects of each type within them. Though one type is usually dominant, it's also possible to experience contextually specific manifestations of perfectionism.
Sorry, is this one a doctor? Is she a perfectionist
she's
doctor?
She's a psychiatrist or a therapist, I'm not really sure.
Oh.
And she's also a perfectionist. For example, you can be a messy perfectionist when it comes to dating, but a classic perfectionist during the holidays. Rank your results to discover your broader perfectionist profile. For example,
That's exactly right. In the holidays, in decorating, all of these type A ones had massive closets of seasonal decor.
For example, if you score highest in the Parisian perfectionist category, you wish, but you scored almost as high in the messy perfectionist category, probably more accurate, then you're a Parisian perfectionist with a significant tilt towards messy perfectionism. Okay, let's get into it, Beatrice.
What? And what am I supposed to do with this information? Move to
Paris?
Well,
we'll see at the end.
What?
Okay, have you ever displayed an angry outburst at work, such as shouting, banging your desk, or slamming doors? There are two options. Yes, when I'm frustrated with myself or others, it often shows. Or, never. I'm composed and extremely professional at all times.
Sorry, what the fuck? Yes, I bang all the time, and no, never? Like, where's the middle ground? Yes, I have once, and I regret it. I recoil from this episode in shame on a frequent basis. I was only thinking about it this week, thinking, that is really mortifying and I should never have done that.
Once a fucking again. Remember we did that whole episode where I was like, tell me some things that you regret that you feel like you behave badly. Don't have any. Can't think of any.
I thought about this afterwards.
Absolute arsehole.
I was dealing with this woman who was obnoxious. Now, like true obnoxious. And I had, you know, I tried everything. I was being really polite. I did everything she wanted. And she and I were kind of peers, although it turned out she was a higher up peer than I was, as you know, like she was more of a favorite peer, if that makes sense. She was the boss's fave. Yeah, exactly. And she was obnoxious. She had no taste, which like is neither here nor there, but it was. And she was really just rude and like no class, as mom would say, just real rude, like no manners, you know, and was always just really insulting to the team about the work that they'd done, all the effort they'd put in. And anyway, one day we were doing a presentation, I was given this presentation, and she was just to her and to her assistant. And during this presentation, every time I spoke or anybody else spoke, she and the assistant would put their hands over their mouths, whisper to each other, and then fall around laughing. And eventually I wheeled around and went, "What? Is this so funny to you? We can all see you, you know?" Totally lost the plot, right? Gave out crap to her. And then said, "I think we all need a break," and stormed out. And came back. And, you know, continued to work. And it was never kind of addressed. Well, the assistant certainly looked absolutely mortified. She just looked
good.
She looked just unchanged and unbothered. She was just an absolute
That's so rude, though. And like, she should have been embarrassed.
Yeah. Oh, she wasn't. I mean, also she was. I should have. Yeah, mortified.
Okay,
but,
so look.
No, I'm not finished. So then about 2 months later, the entire team was let go. Now, we were all like, I wasn't let go in this particular round, but like the whole division was shut down. I am telling you, not related to this fact, but I found out years later that some of the people who were let go believed that the firing was due to the shuttering of the department was due to this one single outburst and blamed me entirely for not getting on better with her.
You never told me this.
Yeah, well, I only thought about it recently.
And
I felt terrible about it. And I also would like, you know, to correct that in there. But I mean, maybe it was true. No, I mean, it wasn't true because like it was a business decision to shutter it, not because like I pissed somebody off.
Well, if they're listening to this episode, maybe it will change their minds. But if they're listening to the podcast, they probably
hate listening. It would never change anybody's mind, you know? So like people's minds are not easily changeable. Anyway, I regret it.
Am I saying yes when I'm frustrated with myself or others? It often shows, or never. I'm composed and extremely professional at all times. When you're frustrated, do you think it's obvious in an office setting?
I mean, I'd like to say B, but I think it's A. I think it's usually B.
It's too late now.
I think it's usually B, but like, I can only think of one person in my entire career who encapsulates B.
Okay. Now, this is a long one, so you're going to have to shut up, right?
Okay, fine.
Which of the below is most likely to bother you? We have several choices. Observing that the people around you aren't performing at the highest standard possible. Going on a vacation with no itinerary.
Grant.
When you know someone doesn't like you. You've decided you want to paint your living room. You're given a colour wheel of 50 paint options and told you need to pick a colour in the next 10 minutes.
No thanks.
Or being told you can only focus on one goal for the next 6 months.
Boring, but number one.
Observing that the people around you aren't performing.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
But I mean, also, everybody thinks that because it's always the person who's the biggest underperformer who thinks that they're the star of the show.
Which statement best describes you? One, I impose extremely high standards on those around me. I can be punitive with others when they don't meet my standards. Two, I'm reliable, highly organized, and I love planning. I sometimes get the sense that other people experience me as uptight. Three, I get frustrated
I think they experience me as disagreeable, but I don't think uptight. Sorry, go on to the next one.
I also don't think you're highly organized and love planning.
No, highly organized maybe, love planning, absolutely not.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so that was two. Three, I get frustrated that other people's opinions and feelings toward me matter to me. I often feel needy because I want the deepest connections possible.
Oh.
Okay, four, I get frustrated with my indecisiveness. I wish I could allow myself to be a little more impulsive about taking clear action towards my goals.
No.
And five, I love the rush of momentum at the start of a new project. I feel unstoppable in the beginning, but I struggle to stay focused when I get distracted by other passions.
No, one. What was one again? I can't remember, but I remember nodding.
I impose extremely high standards on those around me. I can be punitive with others when they don't meet my standards.
No, I don't think I'm punitive, though. I feel like I'm way too soft with others when they don't meet my standards. And then I try to talk them into like being motivated and stuff. And then at the end, I'm exhausted.
What about, though, do we not think a little bit, I get frustrated that other people's opinions and feelings towards me matter to me. I often feel needy.
No.
Because I want the
first part, yes.
Possible.
No, I don't feel needy and want the deepest connections. The deepest connections, no thanks. I don't have time for the deepest connections with anybody else.
But this isn't always about work. It's just, this is like, in general.
I'm talking about life. I'm thinking about life. No thanks.
You're just
the first
with me,
part,
then.
Yes. The first part, absolutely yes.
Sometimes
the second and
me.
Third part, the
Hello?
Second, no.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, that's also because it's hilarious. And last night, you didn't even notice. The minute your phone said notifications have been turned off, I immediately started texting you. It popped up on my phone. I started texting. I was laughing so hard. And then I did that notify anyway thing. And I had to hold my side. I was laughing so hard.
I'm glad you're delighted with yourself. Because I was up twice with a baby to change his sheets, change his PJs, wash him down. Oh. I was up once with an 11-year-old. I was up once with an 11-year-old who launched himself off the side of the bed face first and puked all over the carpet.
At least he puked on the carpet. So much better than the bed.
I would prefer if he puked on his comforter. The whole thing could just go in the washing machine.
No, he never would. He'd puke on his comforter, his PJs, his pillow, his sheet. Mm. That would never happen.
And then
that
up with the 9-year-old who was screaming in agony because his ears are hurting him so much, because you know he had his tonsils, his adenoids out, and tubes put in his ears, and he was up screaming because he's refusing to take his painkillers. So I'm really glad that in the moment I was about to go to sleep, you went ping ping.
Rosemary,
ping, ping.
You weren't even asleep at that point. You were still downstairs.
Fast
you were
no
not.
Way.
Where was Brandon for all this kid illness?
Oh my God, were you doing what you threatened and sitting outside my house with binoculars?
Yes, I was. Where was Brandon with all of this?
Oh, the two of us were up. He was holding the baby while I was stripping the sheets and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God. Great for it, though.
Oh, stop. And then I was running downstairs to get the kitchen roll while he was trying to wipe up the vomit. Oh, it's awful. Anyway.
I don't want to talk about puke anymore. I hate it.
Hey, sorry. Sorry.
I'm going for half of number one and half of number three, if that's correct. Give me a half point for each.
You have to just pick one.
Number one.
I don't know. You have to pick number one. Okay.
I'm not punitive, but number one.
Okay. If someone were giving you praise, so you'll have to really imagine now.
Or fine, you can pick the one that you think I am, the needy one.
Really?
Whatever, I don't care.
Okay. Oh no, hang on. Okay. Okay. If someone were giving you praise, suspend your disbelief for a moment, they'd be most likely to say, one, that you're great at being direct and keeping razor-sharp focus on the goal at hand.
Honestly, two. I probably wouldn't even hear what they said because the minute somebody starts to praise me, I get so
like
happy.
Cartoon birdies around your head.
Yes. I'd just be like, it's a compliment.
Two, that you're great at doing exactly what you say you will do, exactly when you say we'll do it, in the exact way you're expected to do it. Three, that you're great at engendering meaningful connections with others. Four, that you're great at preparing, asking smart questions, and considering alternative scenarios. Or five, that you're great at imagining possibilities, getting inspired, and generating ideas.
Five.
I think five.
Yeah. Or four.
No,
five mainly.
Okay. Oh, God. Which statement?
I was an idea generator in one of those work things that we did. Like,
I know,
there are seven cards.
You talked about it loads.
I like
it. Which statement best describes you? One, I get frustrated by others' inefficiency and lack of focus. I don't care if other people like me. I want to get the job done.
Oh, no.
Two, I consider it somewhat offensive when people make adjustments to the structure and timeline of anything, a meeting, a dinner, a vacation, etc. We should be able to make one plan and stick to it.
Who is this pain in the neck? No.
Three, I spend more energy than I want wondering what people think of me. That's me. I'm the loser. I'm the needy loser. Anyway, four, I know I have a lot more to offer than I'm currently offering in my relationships, at work, in my community, etc. But I can't unleash my full potential until I take care of a few things first.
That could be
me. Five, I'm always resisting the urge to do things like purchase domain names for businesses I want to start. I have more ideas than I could ever know what to do.
That's me.
Totally you. That is you. Okay. I've received feedback along the lines of one, being mean, intense, or intimidating. Two.
Yes. Number one. Go on.
Two, not being spontaneous enough, being too rigid.
No.
Three, being too much of a people pleaser. Four, not taking enough risks, being too indecisive. And five, being disorganized, scatterbrained, or poor at following through on commitments.
No, one.
Okay. It's most meaningful to me, one, when someone follows through on what they said they were going to do when they said they were going to do it, and to the
this
level of quality.
This one's obsessed with that. That's just clearly this one's bugbear.
Two, that I'm able to offer myself and others stability through routine, structure, and predictability. Three,
when
another person works to understand who I am as a person and why what matters to me matters to me. Four, that I enter into new opportunities, relationships, jobs, everyday decisions, as prepared and as sure of my decisions as possible. I don't want to commit unless I'm highly confident it's the right choice. Or five, that I lead a passionate life where I entertain as many opportunities as possible to create new projects, develop new skills, travel, grow, and continue exploring.
God, I literally got so bored in the middle of that I actually had no idea what the question was or what one, two, three, or four were. It's
okay,
clearly
well,
five.
Yeah, it's five. It is five.
It's clearly five. I was like, maybe number two, the stability one. I mean, I think that's important
okay,
to give people
so
stability. Beatrice,
I'm going to give you the bad news first.
What?
So there are three profiles come up for you. In last place, Parisian perfectionist.
Are you joking?
In second place, in joint first, so this is a Parisian second, but that's 14%. And these other two are 43% each.
Oh.
Intense perfectionist and messy perfectionist.
Oh, I mean, I agree. I agree with this. Definitely Parisian perfectionist was not me.
Let me tell you about the messy perfectionist. You effortlessly push through the anxiety of new beginnings, are superstar idea generators, adapt to spontaneity well, and are naturally enthusiastic. Left unchecked, you struggle to stay focused on your goals, ultimately spreading your energy too thin to follow through on your commitments.
I object.
Intense perfectionists are effortlessly direct and maintain razor-sharp focus on achieving their goal. Left unchecked, their standards can go from high to impossible, and they can be punitive with others and themselves for not achieving possible standards.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I sound like a perfect balance.
And then that sounds like a contradiction. And then 14% of you, Parisian perfectionists possess a live wire understanding of the power of interpersonal connection and hold a strong capacity for empathy. Sorry, has she ever met anyone from Paris?
I was only trying to explain to Bo the other day the meaning of the sound boof boof.
Yeah, it's just
I was like boof.
Oh, you're making something out of nothing. Blah.
It's just a boof.
Yeah, don't care. Don't, you know, don't
it,
take up
it,
my
but
time
it's
with
so
meaningless things.
Important to be able
I know.
To if you're speaking French, that's one of your most important words.
No, I can't speak French. I just let the funky music do the talking. Left unchecked, their desire to connect to others can metastasize. Oh yeah, into toxic people pleasing.
Well, luckily, that's only 14% of me then.
She's literally never met anybody from the whole of France.
No, she absolutely
toxic people hasn't. Pleasing. A strong capacity pleasing. For empathy.
Yeah, I think maybe she watched but there's nothing she could have watched. Maybe Amelie. And she only watched one character in it.
I don't know. Maybe Ratatouille. Even Amelie, I think, is a bit clearer than that.
I was actually wondering if I could watch Amelie with the kids, but I think it's probably not suitable. I have no recollection whatsoever of it, except for the lovely music.
Oh, William started watching The Simpsons. And, like, most of it's fine, but I feel like he's just not there yet. I think some of them, you know, when, like, doesn't Homer go to a strip club at some point? And, like, William's
the
same
one. Yeah, but
you
just fast forward those episodes.
I know, but we're not always there. But, like, William's the one who, in the back of the car, passed by, like, Sunshine Lounge and went, why can't I go there? I'm a gentleman.
Oh my god, they're such wallies.
I know.
Actually, so I feel delighted now. I am a
that is
messy
very clear.
And intense. I'm an intensely messy perfectionist. That's probably more accurate.
Yeah, no,
I'm looking
right.
around at my desk. It doesn't look so perfectly tidy. Oh, no,
yeah,
you know
I don't
what,
think you're like messily intense. I think you're intense.
That type A personality, though, would have, they also wouldn't have a book. They'd have the books all turned backwards on the shelf.
Or they'd only have the exact same. They'd have like all of the Penguin classics in the exact same printing together. And then they'd have like all of the, you know what I mean? It would be from the same publishers in the same place.
Yeah, but they're not to read, right? They're decor. Not that you can't be like a bookwormy type A. I know a lot of these girls in my rom-coms are type A's, apparently.
It's just because they like, you know, science. That doesn't make them type A's.
No, a lot of them self-describe as type A's. It's like they're type A's and they're so uptight, but then.
I'll tell you who was a type A until she met that B&B owner. The doctor in Abby Jimenez's Part of Your World. She was very
She also was a time traveler because she kept... She also was a time traveler because every time she'd go back to being a doctor, she'd step back into 1980 to get her outfits.
I don't know, Beatrice. I feel like if you're like a female surgeon working in, I'm going to say Wisconsin. I have no idea anything about Wisconsin. I feel like outside of the cities, you maybe do wear a lot of like pencil skirts and nude hose.
That's fine. It wasn't that. It was the ball gown that she wore the night of wherever she got that dress from.
That's very Real Housewives reunion, Beatrice. You're just missing out on. You know what? You're not in touch with the culture. That's what this is. Because you don't watch Love is Blind. You don't watch any Real Housewives. You haven't watched Vanderpump Rules. You don't know. You don't know, Beatrice. You're rarely even on TikTok. You're so out of touch.
You're right. Actually, I did decide I was going to make a concerted effort to be more down on the tick with the kids. When I said that to Nash,
weird.
When I said that to Nash, I said, listen, I said, I need to really familiarize myself more. I said, like, I'm not as down with everything as your Rizzy friends are. And he's like, Mom, stop talking.
Oh my God, I found the cutest picture of Nash today. What was I? I was looking through my Instagram. There was a picture. Do you remember when he first dyed his hair pink? And he was like maybe 7 or 8 or something. He was just so small, but also I could see the evil look, the evil teen gleam in his eye. It was still there. I remember being slightly intimidated by him even then.
There was something so nice. Actually, Nash isn't even the child in question here, but there was something so nice about the days before they asked anything about sex. Because now my 10-year-old is consistently asking me sex questions, but that he doesn't want to know the answer to. Like, he truly doesn't.
You should just start making stuff up.
What are you talking about? I tell him the actual answer and then he's
shocked. I know. But
like
what I'm
another
saying is,
soft corner of the world is ripped away from him, you know?
But like, you should just act like you don't know. So if he says like, Mom, what's a blowjob? You should go, oh, I don't know. I think it's, you know, when you have those dandelions in fall, I think it's like when you blow them and you make a wish. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's what I'll do.
Thanks.
Well, I already had to answer what's edging yesterday.
What did you say?
Rosemary, I gave a very good and thorough technical answer. Rosemary, these are not
what
innocent questions.
How did
I
you
looked
know
it up.
Edging?
It was mentioned in a YouTube video and I was like, that's why YouTube needs to be banned.
Yeah. But sorry, okay, so what did you say?
I'm not answering this question on live TV.
Did you use the word orgasm?
Rosemary, I tried to use as few words as possible.
Oh my God, you're just going to have to tell us, please.
I'm not.
You're edging me now with this conversation.
No, Rosemary, no. I'm not going to. You know I'm not. Is Mom listening to this? Mom,
yeah,
this you look it up. You might enjoy it. Your
eyes. Chris McKay. Our poor, poor mother.
Oh, you learn something new every day, Rosemary.
Yeah, like you're an intense, messy perfectionist, and I'm just quite... I don't think I'm a perfectionist.
Who else is an intense, messy perfectionist? Give me an example in popular culture.
The woman with the darker hair in The Home Edit, another reality show you didn't watch on Netflix.
I've got one. What about my twin, my French twin, Sylvie, in, what's it called?
Why don't you guess, Beatrice?
Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris. It's meant to rhyme.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think we even talked about this before on the podcast. Emily in Paris. Yeah.
That is stupid. I clearly erased that from my memory.
Out of a way to say things in French all the time. Even you didn't get that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't think... No, I don't. Because Sylvie's too self-possessed. Maybe she's
Fuck
just...
You, Rosemary.
Maybe she's just more intense than messy.
Rosemary, which can jump higher, a frog or the Eiffel Tower?
A frog. The Eiffel Tower can't jump.
How did you get that? Because I
what
did not.
What is wrong with you? The Eiffel Tower cannot jump. So, okay, you're a messy, intense perfectionist, and you're also an idiot. I'm really glad we found this out. Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. Please sign up to our Patreon for more insightful questions like that from Beatrice. patreon.com/notwithoutmysister. Maybe I'll even convince her to tell us what edging is in the next Patreon episode.
We'll do like a phone-in radio show. We'll get Mom to call in and we'll ask her.
I'm going to do that. No, we won't get her to call in. We'll just call her and then we'll record it.
Okay, good one.
Because it's for the Patreon, she'll never know. And in Indiana, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to record people without their consent. Even if she's not in Indiana, it doesn't count.
Does it not?
I have no idea, but it's a single party consent state. So if two people are in Indiana and I want to record you, as long as I consent to recording you, then it's legal.
Seems unfair, honestly, but all right.
I know. Great, thank you all so much for listening. Hopefully my voice will be back to normal. Unless you like it. Is it really sultry?
It's lovely.
No, it's not, is it? No. Okay, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back. God knows when we'll be back, when my voice is back.
Thanks for listening. Thanks. Well, Rosemary, stop talking then. Maybe if you'd let me get a word in edging wise, I would have been good.
Don't.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.